We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
And I'm Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran in Darmstadt, Illinois. And Matt and I are so excited. It is July 4th. We've got the big fireworks ready to go off here any moment. We're glad you can be with us for our special July 4th fireworks display. I'm sure everyone who's listening is really excited about it. Oh, there they go,
oh,
Matt.
Boy,
oh,
incredible.
Man, isn't that beautiful? Oh, look at that. That is just...
Matt. Red, white, and blue.
Wait a second, Matt. I don't know if we really thought this through very well. I mean, you and I can see the beautiful fireworks, but this is radio, Matt.
No, why didn't we think of that? Oh, that money and time.
That's right. Oh. The expense, the incredible expense. And now, it is beautiful, though, isn't it, Matt? It's just...
It is nice.
It's
we'll
marvelous.
Just enjoy this, yeah.
Of course, you know, the problem is, too, it's bright and early in the morning. It might have been a little more effective
wait till
at night. Yeah, but then again, since it's radio, it really doesn't matter one way or the other, does it, Matt? Okay. All right, well, we'll enjoy the fireworks going on behind us here, but maybe we better get started with our Bible study because, again, Matt and I we're trading off here. I'm doing the things. Why do we have so many problems? Why isn't God answering our prayers? An uplifting summer, lighthearted summer series. And I think, Matt, you have something that probably is equally uplifting. Actually, it is. Tell everyone of what
yes,
you guys have been doing.
I think it's exciting.
Oh, wait, look at that then. Oh, man, that is spectacular.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Ooh.
You know, the other thing is we could have put microphones outside. At least they could have heard the sound of it.
I know.
Well, next year.
What a shame.
Next year. Okay.
Well, we'll let them know when the grand finale comes up.
Okay.
Because you don't want to miss that.
No, that's right. But if you do, don't turn off your radios now. Wait until the grand finale comes. Anyway, Matt, what are you guys doing? You're doing something crazy as always there at Ascension.
Yeah, well, thanks.
We're eating the ice cream.
I know. We're always doing something fun. And the fun thing we're doing this summer is for the past few weeks, we've been asking the worshipers at Ascension to please vote for their favorite Bible passages.
Neat.
So what we did was we printed off a few sheets with over 100 Bible passages for the more well-known ones, I suppose, more beloved ones. And we had some blank spaces, too, if people had a favorite verse that
wasn't on the list
for whatever reason.
Who compiled the 100 favorite Bible passages? That seems like quite a task.
That is quite the task. And so it was a combination. We have some high school office workers in the evening, so we
have the youth do it.
The youth and our long-suffering administrative assistant, Sherry. So, Sherry, if you're listening, which I know you're not because you probably do not want to hear any more of Pastor than you have to, especially on a Saturday morning. But thank you anyway. Thanks for your help in putting that together. So that was compiled by those good folks. And then, if that wasn't enough work, after people voted for their 10 favorites.
Yes.
Didn't have to rate them, just vote for their 10 favorite. Then Sherry,
she had to count
all
them all. This is the same
enjoy.
Sherry that had to do the favorite hymn deal that you did a couple years ago.
Well, that was in Waterloo where it's.
Oh, that was Waterloo. So wherever you go, you are imposing these tremendous work heavy, intensive activities upon your staff.
Yes.
Okay.
Beware. No, a wonderful staff, so blessed. But anyhow, the final result was our top 10 best loved Bible passages of Ascension Lutheran Church. And so what we're doing is each week we're counting down from 10 to number 1.
Yes.
Each week our sermon text is what the congregation chose.
Oh, wow.
So it's not up to me. So it's up to them.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault if you don't like it.
I wouldn't have chosen that passage. And so what is the number 10? What was it? Because
we're only revealing one at a time. We're kind of trying to build the suspense. So we'll reveal number 10 today, but I'm going to make you wait for that, too.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get started. Okay. Number 10?
I'm ready. Okay. Number 10.
Number 10. Here's the drum roll. Well, I'm not going to announce it now. We're going to make you wait a little longer. We'll do another fanfare when we get to it.
Okay.
I'm trying to...
I hurt my hands doing that drum roll. You don't even have any favorite passages, do you? You just made this all up.
Making this up? No, okay. No. We don't make stuff up here in Wrestling with the Basics. Right?
Not much.
Not much.
All right. Dude, so what do you want me to do here? You're not going to tell us the... Oh, look at that one over there. Oh, wow. That was a big heart, wasn't it? That was a big heart.
Beautiful. Wow, they're still going. Who's setting those off, by the way?
I don't know. It's all on computer. Matt, come on. I'm sitting here. Where's the thing? Where is it? Get it.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
I'm just trying to keep you in suspense, John. It's supposed to be fun. Just enjoy it.
Okay. I will just sit back and relax.
You're enjoying this about as much as the people in the pews enjoy my sermon. No. No, okay, so here we go. The countdown begins with a passage that the congregation chose.
Excuse me, I have to go get my hair cut. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking
about.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Get a haircut. Oh, boy. Very good. Now, it comes from the longest book of the Bible, which do you know the longest
Jeremiah.
Book of the Bible is?
It's Jeremiah. Yes. I would not have known that except you told me to turn to Jeremiah. But okay.
Well, I'm on a mission.
All right.
A personal mission to get the word out that Jeremiah is the longest book of the Bible. This stems from years ago when I went to a trivia night. I'm not going to say where, but it was a Lutheran institution.
Oh, is that right?
And the question was, well, they had a Bible round, which I'm thinking, great, Bible round. That's, we should ace this one. So what's the longest book of the Bible? I said, oh, I know it.
Yep.
Jeremiah, put it down. Well, then they read off the answers. They say, no, it's the book of Psalms. And they're wrong. So... ever since that time when I got that answer wrong, I'm trying to spread the word. Jeremiah is the longest book of the Bible. Word-wise, it's the longest
book. Oh, word-wise. So if you count Psalms, the number of words.
Psalms, granted, has more chapters. 150. Okay. You can't top that. But when you just count the words, just literal length, Jeremiah's the longest.
I have this scary picture of you sitting down, counting every word in the book of Psalms, and then counting every single word in the book of Jeremiah.
The rest of the trivia night, that's how I spent my evening. 1, 2, 3.
Okay. You're going to have to play that sound effect again if you don't.
All right. Longest book of the Bible. All right.
Yes.
So just some context for the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah isn't the easiest book to read, not just because it's long, but because, it's kind of a tough theme. It's not the feel-good book of the Bible.
Oh, no. So we have another downer theme for summer.
Here's a little quote from the Lutheran Study Bible, their introduction to the book of Jeremiah. Okay. They say this. Reading Jeremiah is like entering the cavernous darkness of another person's frustration and despair.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, that's encouraging. Oh, who wouldn't want to read the book of Jeremiah?
That's right. It's long and it's dark. Okay.
But it's good stuff, too.
Yeah.
So the book.
Well, apparently it's got one of the favorite Bible passages.
That would be good.
Yeah.
The book of Jeremiah, as you might expect, written by the prophet Jeremiah. And he was.
That's convenient.
Yeah, very good. Makes sense so far. He was someone chosen by God at a pretty young age, and his ministry really spans decades. And it's a tough ministry because he keeps sharing God's word with the people, no matter how difficult it is to share, and they keep, it seems, ignoring it, rejecting it. And instead, they're listening to these other false prophets and people that are just telling the people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear.
The itching ears.
The itching ears, well put. Some have even called Jeremiah the weeping prophet because of this.
Mm.
But, Jeremiah, come what may, remains faithful.
Yes.
God grant us Jeremiah's faithfulness, the faithfulness he gave to him. But can you imagine as a pastor, looking at back in your career and your ministry and thinking, oh boy, no one really listened to anything I
Wouldn't that be
said,
frustrating? Really? That really would. Because you and I mean, seriously, we have the benefit that people do, and they respond to the show and they respond to our ministry.
Yes.
But to live in a ministry where people did not respond, in fact, rejected you.
Yes.
Sometimes violently.
Yeah, getting thrown into a cistern and all these other things.
That's what I'm thinking.
Jeremiah endures.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, anyway, the Israelites are so unfaithful, to kind of make a long story short here, which you probably appreciate, John, that God allows them to be conquered, taken over by the Babylonians, kind of the big world power at that time.
So that's the historical context.
And people,
Nebuchadnezzar is on the doorstep.
Yes, okay. And people are taken off into exile into Babylon. People from Israel, from that that region of Judah, they're taken to exile into Babylon. And I mean, you can kind of imagine what that must be like, taken from your home, from your neighborhood, from what's familiar, perhaps even from some family members, and taken off into a foreign land.
Does Jeremiah continue to minister after they've been taken off into?
Yeah, so this is where our text comes in today. So what happens is, the false prophets are still at work, and they tell these exiles what they want to hear. They tell them, hey, you're going to have a speedy return. Don't worry about it. You know, you're going to be going back to Judah.
Really?
Lickety split.
Even after they've been taken off, the false prophets are still saying, oh, don't worry. It'll just be a few days and we'll be and on the boat back.
Yeah, and the people are still listening to the false prophets, unfortunately. So,
because these are the same false prophets. Oh, don't worry, Egypt will come and save us. We don't have to worry about the Babylonians.
Yes,
I think by this point you would think maybe you're not the prophet.
You would think so, wouldn't you? You know, and you know, trust in anyone except God. Really, when it comes down to these foreign lands, yourselves. You know, and so they're idolaters. They're fearing, they're loving, they're trusting things more than God, and the result is God allows them to be taken off into exile, conquered. So anyway, so Jeremiah then writes a letter. Okay, he writes a letter to the people who are in exile.
Okay,
in Babylon, and he shares with them the truth. Okay, so let's read this. So Jeremiah chapter 29 is where we find this letter from the prophet Jeremiah. So go ahead and if you want to start.
It says that. It says right at the title, Letter to the Exiles. Do you want to just start at the beginning?
I would skip down to verse 4. But verse 1, chapter 29 says, you know, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles. Okay? And then in verse 4 is where he gets to the letter. So go ahead.
Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place.
Okay, stop right there.
Okay, I see where we're going. Okay. Right. We're on the cusp of the favorite Bible passage.
Oh boy, watch out. Okay. So the message is pretty clear, this message from the Lord. And what is he saying in this letter? What are some of the highlights?
Well, it was interesting because you were saying the false prophets are saying, well, keep your bags packed, get ready anytime. Yeah. We're going to be going back to Jerusalem. And God says, not so much. In fact, make yourself at home. Be comfortable. In fact, pray for, support the city that you're dwelling in, the land that you're dwelling in. Build your houses. Have children. Whatever you do, don't despair. Don't despair that you're not leaving. Continue to function and continue to be family and continue to be my people, even though you are a people in exile.
Yeah, well put. So keep on living. Yeah, settle in. Even plant plants. You know, it's going to be a while. But in the midst of all that, I haven't forgotten about you.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, here's a letter. There's tangible
I'm talking
words
to you.
From me.
Yeah.
I'm still speaking to you. In fact, he even kind of gives them a timeline. He says they're in...
70 years. Yeah. 70 years. So we've got
years.
A date. Yeah.
So God in his grace lets the people know he hasn't forgotten about them. He even gives them a date. It's not going to be this few days or a couple weeks like these false prophets say, but no.
Although that's
going to be a while.
That's a scary number because probably that meant most of these people would not get to see home again.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. I'm not sure how, they probably weren't living, more than 50, 60 years maybe? Yeah. But 70 probably figure most of them won't ever get to see their homeland
so
again.
So few, if any, are going to see their home again. Yeah. It'll be their children, grandchildren. Yeah. Okay, so God hasn't forgotten about them. He sends them this letter. But, you know, and again, picturing these people filled with uncertainty and fear and not knowing what the future holds, here is where we get to the best love passage number 10, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11.
Okay, so but now I'm going to make them wait a little bit longer.
Uh-oh.
Well, no, because I was just thinking, this is our story, isn't it? We're all in exile.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're in a land where there's all kinds of problems and troubles. In fact, we don't really even fit here. But I like the advice. So what do you do? Well, go ahead. Settle down. Live. Do the best you can. Pray for this world. Pray for the people of this world. Raise your families. Build your houses. Go on about doing things. Don't go off and stand on a hill waiting for me to return, because I might not return for a while. Might be a while. We don't have any specific date like he has here. But yes. I just like that thought. We're exiles. So what do you do as an exile? Well, you do the best you can in the world you have, and you support the world and the people around you. You continue to love and care for them, even though, you know, we're just exiles here. So I just...
Well, that's exactly the point, you know, part of it. And this is why I think that one of the reasons why this verse we're about to read, I haven't quite read yet, is one of our best loved passages, because you're exactly right. We are exiles. Our hymns, you know, the scriptures surely, but also our hymns, a lot of them pick up on that. It calls us exiles in this foreign land, pilgrims here.
Ah, yes.
Our home above, right?
I'm but a stranger.
Yeah. Heaven is my home. On and on. We're exiles here in this land where things aren't so great. But that was a great insight. We too do what God's called us to do. Yeah. We too, you know, if we want to say it this way, flourish where we're planted, bloom where we're planted. We too continue to, have children and to plant and to work and to do those good things that God's given to us in the meantime. Keeping in mind that, no, the Lord hasn't forgotten about us. He's with us.
And even though our time here is temporary, we know that, but we still go ahead and do that stuff. Yeah. We don't go withdraw to a monastery or something like that. No.
And looking forward to that time when we are restored then to that promised land, to that heavenly Jerusalem up above, you know. So, a lot of parallels here. In the meantime, though, I think, too, we do have uncertainties about our futures. We do have worries. We do have anxieties, some of them unfounded, some of them maybe of our own making, our own sin, too, just because similar to these exiles who, because of their own sin, find themselves in this situation. But in the context of all of those different things, still the Lord has a word of peace for us. And I think that word comes in this best love passage. Are you ready for it this time?
I'm ready for it, yes.
Okay. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Yeah, there it is. I think the reason this is so beloved is because we can relate to some of the same things these exiles are going through. And to have the confidence of this promise that God makes. And I love how it's really kind of in the first person, God speaking to them, God speaking to us.
Yes.
It's as if God is speaking directly to us. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. So this beautiful message that God has a plan for these exiles, a plan for us, and that his plan is a good plan.
Yes.
And for our good, and for our future, and for our hope. You know, what a comfort. And you can begin to see why, this would be a verse that would be well-loved.
And, you know, it fits in perfectly with the story we had last week, because the disciples in the midst of the storm, they're probably thinking, where is the Lord at? Where's his concern? What are his plans? But as, of course, that story plays out, we find out that he did have plans, and his plans weren't for evil. He didn't want them to perish there in the sea. No, he was not only going to calm the storm, but he was also going to strengthen their faith in the fact that he's the one who can calm the storms.
Yes.
Plans for a hope and for a future.
Good. You know, and looking at this, you know, we look at the different stresses and things of life and how these words give us comfort. I looked up, you know, we're talking about top 10 lists, so I looked up this scale of the top 10 most stressful things in life.
Ah.
It's kind of interesting.
Was cat videos on there?
No, it did not make the list.
Oh, okay.
But this has been around, it was first put together in the late 1960s, and it really talks about...
That's before cat videos. Yes. Okay.
Yes,
so cat videos would be on the list, on a more current list.
And it really, it talks about it in terms of things in life that cause the most change in terms of that stress. So some of the things are kind of good on the list, you know, but some of them, they're tough.
No, wait a second. I must have misunderstood. I thought there was a list of things that are comforting.
It's no stressful things.
I'm sorry. Well, then not cat videos.
You're finding stress in cat videos.
No. That's where I go when I need peace. Oh, okay. I go to my cat videos. Shut up. Go ahead. I'm not paying attention. It's the fireworks. They distracted me.
That must be it. No, but things like, here's the top 10. Number 10 is retirement. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, man, I know. That's coming up. It is stressful.
Marital reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Dismissal from work. Getting married. Why do these have to do with marriage? Illness. The death of a close family member. Imprisonment. A marital separation. Mm. Divorce. And then the number one most stressful thing is the death of a spouse. You know, and I think of our own listeners, and some of them probably have identified with one or more of those events.
Yeah.
I think as the older we get, the more of these we do identify with.
Right? Yeah.
But yet, you know, in the midst of those different things, those different stresses and things that seem perhaps uncertain, where, you know, what does the future hold for me? To have that assurance of this promise that, you know, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you a hope and a future, plans for good, and that He makes good on that promise. And I think, you know, to not stop there, you know, before we run out of time, I think it's important to mention, too, you know, this isn't just a feel-good plan that Jesus has for you and that God has for you, but it's one that's certain. And this plan for our good and our hope and our future is centered, we have to say, in Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and that's where this plan really comes together. You know, that plan that overcomes the stresses of life, perhaps, but also that plan that even more than that overcomes the sting of death itself. That beautiful plan centered in on Jesus our Savior that God has had from the beginning, even before creation, before that first sin of Adam and Eve, and that plan that's carried out by Jesus Christ and His dying and His coming back to life, a plan that happens in our own personal lives through His Word, through baptism, a plan that He fulfills through His Word, through His Spirit. So, you know, so take comfort that God has a plan for our future here in this life, but even more so, He has a plan for our eternal welfare, our eternal hope. That plan, again, centered in Jesus Christ, the one who brings that plan to fruition.
And it just struck me that I'd never thought about that before, but when God is saying, I have a plan for a hope and a future for you, He is thinking about Jesus Christ.
Even in those exiles.
It's just not that they're going to be returning to Jerusalem after 70 years, because they'll return to Jerusalem and they'll still have all kinds of problems and trials, and there'll be internal divisions, and they'll fall back into idolatry and all of that stuff again. But that's the plan for hope and a future, that Jesus would come and would be a Savior and forgive their sins, and would be a Savior and forgive our sins. Indeed, He would bring that salvation to all nations. And I like also the idea of the hope there, because that kind of embraces the fact that there are going to be struggles and trials. If you don't have struggles and trials, then you don't have to have hope, do you? You got it. You got it already.
No.
But this is kind of a thing that we hope for. And as you said, it's totally based in what Christ has done for those people in the Old Testament and also for us in the New Testament as well.
Yeah. So the hope for these exiles is ultimately that Jesus is a coming, and He's going to fulfill that promise to send a Savior. The Lord is faithful. And for us, it's the exact same promise, right? That Jesus is coming. He's going to return. And, you know, as Paul talks about, you know, in Romans 8, how that hope that's unseen. We hope for things that are unseen, right? And we look for that hope of Christ's return.
Well, thank you, Matt. You're having trouble finding it.
There we go.
You know why it is? Because it's the grand finale.
The grand finale.
It's the grand.
Goodness.
That's what it was. I wonder what was distracting. Yeah, look at him. Whoa, man.
Oh, beautiful.
It's just a shame that this is just radio, because, boy, if you could see this.
I'll do any other display this for it. Without a doubt.
Hey, God bless all of you. And remember, please, that we do have a hope and a future in Jesus Christ.
Amen.